This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
All right, parents, it's back to school time, and I've got a secret for you. There's a drama-free way to make vitamins part of your kids' morning routine. Lil' Critters Gummy Vitamins. You see, my kids think they're just eating fun, delicious gummy bears, but little do they know, they're getting essential nutrients for their health and development.
Mom, we know they're vitamins.
As I was saying, kids absolutely love, and apparently know, these are vitamins. Lil' Critters is the pediatrician-recommended kids' multivitamin gummy brand, and the yummy way to start the school year.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Jeffrey Wright and Company. My name is Jeffrey Wright. You can follow me on Twitter on X at JWright929ESPN. As always, you can listen on 92.9 FM or 680 AM. But if you're away from the radio dial, you can always stay up to date with everything happening right here at 92.9 FM ESPN on the Odyssey app. It's free to download, free to listen. Make sure you download and subscribe to 92.9 today. Dennis Fuller producing the program for us. Glad that he is with us. My company today, as he is each and every Thursday, writes about college football and college basketball for CBS Sports. You can follow him on Twitter on X at David W. Cobb. Cobb, good day, sir.
Good day, sir. We have the President's Cup on,
yeah,
which is keeping me company this afternoon. Major shout out to the President's Cup. Appreciate that. Uh-huh. And then it's a glorious day because we got Army and Temple coming up at 6:30 this evening.
Yes. And then we also, of course, have Giants and Cowboys for those that forget the rules of the NFC East. The Cowboys always beat the Giants. The Giants usually always beat the Commanders. It's like regardless of how good anyone is, the Commanders always play the Eagles really tough, and then the Eagles and Cowboys is always like a toss-up. So I'm really looking forward to watching my team live in primetime and hearing everybody's Daniel Jones takes. It's going to be awesome.
Yeah, the Daniel Jones takes are going to be flying.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm still on the wagon, Jeffrey, of that the Giants don't need to go all in on a quarterback in this next draft because I just don't think there's one out there, but there might be one out there in the 2026 draft.
Also, have you seen the people throwing around the numbers that Trevor Lawrence and Daniel Jones basically are the same quarterback statistically?
Who's good at quarterback right now in the NFL? Jaden Daniels is the only one who I'm like really excited about from that young crop of like first, second, third year guys who are maybe really going to be something. I mean, I was blown away by his performance on Monday night. Did you see the way he dropped that ball in the bucket?
It's unbelievable.
To McLaurin
while getting knowing he was going to get absolutely filleted.
Yes. And yeah, man, it just makes you wonder what was Herm Edwards doing with the man at Arizona State? Golly.
He was leaving it on the grass.
He was doing something.
With Ayuk, too. I mean, I also think people act like Daniels was bad at Arizona State. He was up and down, but he was, and that's the other thing, Daniels' first year, to me it's like the Daniels trajectory is almost the exact same as the Burrow trajectory, where, except he played as a younger guy at Arizona State, but his first year at LSU, there was kind of like a feeling out process and he got better as the year went on. And then last year, I mean, he was just phenomenal. But I mean, that's the other thing. If you're watching what Daniels is doing and you're an LSU fan, does that make you feel a certain way knowing that, you know, the best you got was like a 9-3 year?
Yeah, they kind of wasted Jaden Daniels to a certain extent. And they might be doing the same thing this year with Garrett Nussmeier, who could very well end up being a first-round selection himself at quarterback because Brian Kelly was stubborn. He didn't go out there and reinforce the defensive line in the portal. They have no traditional run game, which is astounding to me since they have a couple of potential first-round tackles. So I've got LSU on upset watch this week. Have you seen that South Alabama team?
Yeah, I can't get on the right side of LSU no matter what. So I've decided I'm just going to keep in my picks column that I do for Neil, I'm just going to keep picking them until they eventually cover. Like, are they really going to go? Even Vandy got a couple of covers last year. Are they really going to go 0-12 against the number?
Well, I would be looking more at an over total than I would at the spread in LSU South Alabama, because South Alabama put up 60 or whatever against App State last week, and then LSU really hadn't shown the ability to stop people. And then you got LSU with Garrett Nussmeier against a G5 defense. So yeah. I'd be looking at about a LSU 52, South Alabama 35 type of game, maybe.
The thing that's been interesting about LSU is, number one, they don't look all that interested in tackling. That seems to be a very key part of it. But they also have this weird deal where they look like they'll give up everything in the first half, and then they come out in the second half, and they're usually better. And granted, the level of competition hasn't been great, and when they needed to get a stop against USC, they couldn't. But I don't know. There's something about, of course, I thought the same thing about last week with the UCLA-LSU line. I don't know. There's something about it. But we'll get you ready for the week that is in sports. We'll start with the tasting menu. We only have two games tonight. Also, Cobb went. So the Braves and Mets has been postponed to Monday, but they both have series this weekend, right? Not against each other?
Yeah, I believe that's right.
Okay. So we have some races for, you know, essentially, I guess now we're basically at wild card races because I believe the divisions are pretty much decided. So we have some wild card races to keep in mind. So if you want to throw that out there, feel free. I'm now at the point with the Cardinals, like it's been just such a meh season, like just so boring. Like, that's the other thing. It's just been boring. So I'll get locked in when the playoffs come in. So excited about that. We also could be on hurricane watch, right, for games this weekend.
Right. That's something to consider when you're looking at the over under. If rain influences your team's passing attack, then you might want to go on the underside.
So we'll get you ready for that. Also, Cobb spent some time with, I'm blanking, David. Not David
Derek
Shaw.
Mason.
Derek Mason. Derek Mason, of course, now at the coach of MTSU. MTSU taking on Memphis Saturday night, 6:30. So we'll talk about his conversation that he had with Derek Mason. We'll do that during the next segment. 3:05, we'll get into the list. Another Derek in the news. Derek Rose officially retires today, makes it official, takes out a full-page ad in every place that he played. Wanted to discuss that a little bit. Also, Jason Smith going to join us at 3:30 like he does each and every Thursday. Then we'll tell your story and we will get out of here. But let's start first with Thursday night and really two games tonight. So you've got Giants and Cowboys on Amazon Prime. I think really it feels like we're now back into real Thursday night football form where 90% of the conversation about the game is just whether or not Al Michaels is there. Like, whether or not he cares. Last week, let's see, was last week Jets? Last week was Jets-Pats, right?
Yeah, yep.
So, my theory is, and I'd mentioned this to Tim, I think, last week. My theory is that Al's not washed. Al's checked out. Because Al's so old school, he views that he's like on a computer. Like, he's not really on TV. Like, he hasn't quite understood, like, nah, like, this is still something that like 12 million people watch. Like, this is still.
Well, Are we sure that it's actually Al Michaels? Because if you recall, during the Olympics,
great point.
NBC had an AI-generated version of Al Michaels narrating highlights for everybody. Mm-hmm. So let's just, you know, let's have Kirk Herbstreit, like, you know, give him a wet willy or something this tonight and make sure he's really there.
Well, Al has at least commented, you know, when Kirk takes some flack for taking his dog everywhere, like Al has stood up for Ben.
Well, that's nice of Al to do.
But AI, Al could do the same. I think that's probably fair.
Yeah, even artificial intelligence likes dogs. Kirk Herbstreit, man, like that guy's workload is out of this world. He's already jet-setting across the country with his college duties, and now he's calling this game tonight in New York, and then college game day is where this week? So, man, I don't know. Like,
I assume it's in Tuscaloosa.
And then you're covering two leagues at the same time. I mean, he's the hardest working man in football broadcasting, that's for sure.
So this is the only thing I'd push back on. In comparison to his peers, yes, his workload is extremely high. But when you think about like what we're asking him to do, he covers a Thursday night game, he has game day on Saturday, and he has a Saturday game. He does have to keep up with both leagues. But like I always just do the same thing whenever we talk about Nance, when we get into Nance season, when we roll in, you know, we roll in from college basketball. I guess we won't have Nance season this year, right? Last year was it?
Was it two years ago? It was 2 years ago that was it, because I was there courtside in Houston for his final.
Oh, that's right, because he was hoping to get the Houston Cougars.
That's right. Yeah. But I actually met Jim Nance for the first time, ironically, in FedEx Forum during this past NCAA tournament. Do you remember that absurd second round overtime game between Texas A&M and Houston?
And I think it was the last game of the weekend.
It was the very last one on. And it was in Memphis. It went to overtime.
Houston went to double, right?
Players. Yeah. Houston ran out of players. They bring in the walk-on, ends up hitting a free throw in overtime. And in the post-game locker room for Houston, you know, we were in there. I was doing a story, whatever. And Jim Nance just shows up. He's not even covering the game, right? But
did he at least walk in and say, hello, friends?
He was talking. He was hamming it up. I mean, he looked like Jim Nance in terms of the way he was dressed. Like, you were like, oh,
yeah.
Did you just get that call in a game?
Well, he has, you know, he's got his own Vineyard Vines collection. So he's probably sporting his own merch.
Yeah, so I got to meet him, oddly enough, in the Houston locker room. But he was he had that season though. He would go from the Final Four straight to the Masters. Like, mm-hmm. I mean, you know, poor guy, right? But at the same time, that's tough. And then you got NFL. The people don't realize it's tough to cover multiple leagues.
No,
simultaneously.
I do agree, but it's like it was also like when you broke it down, it's like Nance would call two games at a site, so it would go from. It would go from PGA Tour season, which was basically, I think he got there early, but really it was only 2 days of calling golf. It was Saturday, Sunday. Then he would go into two games at a site, or maybe it was four games at a site, four games and two games. So it was like six games. Then it would be three games during the second weekend, and then three games at the Final Four, and then he rolls to the Masters. It's like when you actually broke down the work, it's like, yeah, he put in like 10 days this month. It was like, it's like, whereas you think about like for us, it's like we're always on. But what I've noticed with Herbstreit, and I don't know if this affects you. If I just am watching the game and listening, there's nothing wrong with the analysis. Kirk clearly knows exactly what he's talking about, knows the players. He doesn't get college brain and NFL brain mixed up. And I don't know if you had, there was no reason to really be watching the Jags-Bills game after like the third possession, but Fowler was on the call, and Fowler got caught. There was a clear like helmet to helmet, and Fowler dropped it. That's targeting. Chris, that's only in college, buddy. Targeting does not exist in the NFL. It's just a personal foul, unnecessary roughness, but he tried to drop a targeting. I kept wondering if Fowler was thinking like, why are they not reviewing this? Why are they not reviewing this? But the thing is with Herbstreit is he's so synonymous with me in college football. I have a tough time just like getting into. I think part of the problem on the NFL Gamecast is like you have Hartung, who I associate with college football, and I know she's with the Today Show now, whatever. So you have Kaylee, and then you have Kirk, and then you have a checked out Al. It just feels like it's a college broadcast of an NFL game.
Yeah, well, how many NFL analysts out there in the booth for broadcast didn't actually play in the NFL? And Kirk Herbstreit didn't. I mean, I think of guys like Tony Romo and now Tom Brady and Chris Collinsworth and all these.
Well, that's
NFL
interesting. I bet he's the only one.
I would absolutely believe so. Because and he may have been in a training camp, but like he never played in the NFL.
No, like I think about it because even like when you get to the D list, the whoever's calling like the Raiders Panthers game on CBS at 3:05, like that's usually like Andrew Catalan with like Jay Feely. And it's like he was a kicker, but like Feely played.
Still played.
Yeah.
Still played.
I bet you're right. I bet he's the only NFL broadcaster that didn't play in the NFL. And I bet he's the last one since Kornheiser.
Wow.
Oh, no, we're missing a big one. Gruden never played when Gruden was on. So Gruden's got to be the last.
Okay,
so coach,
but he won a
but
Super
never
Bowl.
Played or coached.
But he.
But that's the other thing. Who never played or coached in the NFL and has been an analyst? It's got to be the last one was Kornheiser, and then before that, it was probably Dennis Miller.
Wow.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah, no, I think you're right.
Like, that's the only thing. Like, I don't know why. But it's just like, Herbstreit from the beginning has always just been like, college game day, the video game. Then he like works his way up to being like, probably the most influential voice at ESPN's college football, maybe perhaps the most powerful voice at college, certainly behind the scenes. And it's just, I don't know, it's always just, I have a tough time separating, and I get it, it's a me problem. This is me being stupid, but I have a tough time differentiating college broadcaster with NFL broadcaster.
Right, and so if you're Kirk, though, you got to love the time you get to spend in an NFL booth because you don't have to fill all this dead air time with all the incessant replay reviews and all the ridiculous incessant TV timeouts that we're forced to sit through in college football, partially due to the clock rules. Like, it must be a breath of fresh air as a broadcaster to call an NFL game if all you've ever done is college, because it just goes so much faster. And let's be real, the action and the gameplay itself is a lot higher quality. I love college football. It's kind of my favorite, right? But man, it must be nice to kind of take your college hat off and get to enjoy some. Not to say that tonight's game will be high quality. I don't think the Cowboys can run the ball, and they were, despite what the final score says, pretty much blown out last week. So,
oh yeah, no, that was a that was like the college team playing to the to cover, like that. That's what you know what I mean.
Yeah, I mean, I think they outscored Baltimore 19-0 in the fourth quarter, but they were down 28-6 in that game. So it's kind of a tough spot here for Dallas, because you don't want to drop to 1-3 because then it gets real dicey in Dallas real quick when things aren't going well.
Dak, I think, has won, I think it's 12 straight against the Giants.
Yeah, and Dak ain't the problem.
No, he hasn't been the answer, though, either. You know what I mean? Like, there's been times where, like the last 2 weeks, I know Burrow had the bad fumble that you can't have against the Chiefs, but, like, Burrow wasn't the problem on Monday night. Like, Dak has been just kind of there. Like, you know what I mean? Like, his numbers look fine, but I haven't been with him. All right, I've successfully avoided talking about that game. So tonight we have Temple hosting Army. If you want to watch it, by all means, go ahead. I saw Fernelli's Twitter tip of the day is take the points with Temple. Oh, boy, that would be scary.
That's tough to stomach. Temple is just straight up bad. But I understand it's Army's first ever Thursday night game. How about that? Because they were independent for so long, they never played these Thursday night games. Now they're in the American, so they got to do what the league tells them to do. So it's a service academy playing on a Thursday night, which I guess Navy has done. Air Force is probably done, but Army has never done
Air Force or Army or Navy's done it here.
Yeah.
We've had a couple of Thursday nighters with Navy and Memphis. Oh, there was one other thing I wanted to point out. I'd like to take a victory lap. This is more for the audience than it is for you. There was a hero that kept saying these new clock rules, it's not going to speed up the actual length of the game. All it was going to do was increase the amount of time that we have for commercials. I don't know if you saw Split Zone Duo had a former Fox exec and like they took a look at the numbers. That's exactly what has happened. It's like, oh yeah, like it's because, and honestly, to go back to what you mentioned at the very beginning, we have the President's Cup and golf on. The reason why I knew this was going to happen is this is exactly what happened with golf. When the price of golf rights went up, all that happened was they stopped showing less live golf and forcing in more commercials.
Oh, and now you got the half screen commercial, half screen action.
Playing
thing
through, baby.
On. Hey, we ought to bring that into football.
The only good, they kind of done it with a progressive, like they'll do, like if you'll notice like a Monday Night Football, they'll do kind of that. Now it's not like a full play. The only thing I will give NBC credit with golf coverage, did you see on Peacock this year at the Open Championship, they gave us the Sky Sports feed, which is commercial free. Like that's the only, it's like they put it on Peacock, but hey, at least they gave us the option. All right, let's get to Friday. And I'd like to start quickly with a rant. Nebraska, who the hell are you? Like, did you see what the AD was like? The AD was like dictating that like they're only play on Fridays on Good Friday, no more during the season. It's like, hey, bud, do you want $70 million a year of TV money? You might have to play on Fridays. You're not Ohio State. You're not Michigan.
What's his reasoning?
Like, they don't, you know, like it's tough on everyone.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I wouldn't want to play on Fridays either.
Right, but like, that's like, do you want the $70 million?
Yeah, but do you want to lose to Illinois? I mean, geez, I'd have a Friday PTSD if I were Nebraska right now, coming off that hideous fourth quarter that they played against Illinois. Now they're in like a very wouldn't it be funny spot because they're going to Purdue this week, and this should be one of those spots where Dylan Raiola goes off for 400 yards, and you're like, all right, you know, Nebraska's here, their future has arrived, but. It would also be kind of hilarious if Purdue, who we last really saw get smacked around by Notre Dame, somehow came out and won that game. That would be peak Nebraska.
I thought I couldn't see a worse scenario in overtime than 4th and 25 when Arkansas ran the trick play or whatever, you know, the throwback and whatnot to Alex Collins, got the first down against Ole Miss. I don't think I've ever seen 3rd and 43 in an overtime period.
Nebraska's gone 7 straight overtime games without actually scoring an overtime.
Unbelievable.
Incredible.
Like, I would like to know, what is the mathematical probability of that?
Very slim.
Like 0 points. All right, so Friday night we have Vatek at Miami, and then we have Washington at Rutgers. I think these are good Friday night games. Now, I'll be on the call for MUS and Innsworth. The clock will probably run in the second half. But these are good, like, Friday night games because you're not putting, like, a game of the week, but you have a couple of interesting spots. We don't really, like, we know what Miami did to Florida, but we still don't really know, like, what is Florida. We think they're bad. We just can't tell if they're really bad. Like, we don't know what degree bad. But really, Miami basically did the same thing that A&M did to them. But Miami has very much passed the eye test so far. Like every time you watch them, you leave thinking that team's different than what we've been promised with Miami teams. And Vatek is just kind of this reeling team. It's like, are they going to be able to like put together some type of performance to give us some kind of challenge, some kind of data point on Miami? So I think that's interesting. And then Washington at Rutgers, like that is just the ultimate styles make fights. Like I cannot think of two human beings more diametrically different than Jed Fish and Greg Schiano.
Yeah, big moment here for future Florida football head coach Jed Fish.
Yes.
Going to show the country in a primetime game on Friday night what he's all about. Rutgers, though, my man, Ethan Kaliak-Manis, that quarterback battle versus Will Rogers. I mean, that's kind of a college football sicko dream fest right there. Like two of the most random, like long tenured, very mediocre quarterbacks going at it. Like, ooh.
I think I'll stick up for my boy Will. Don't put Will in that same whatever, Kilimiaka, whatever, the Greek rifle. I think Will's limited with arm strength, but like Will doesn't when you're watching Will, like he'll miss a throw here and there, but like Will knows where to go with the football. He's usually throwing on time. Whereas the Greek rifle, he's thrown more passes where I was like, did he even remotely know what he was doing there? Like Will's just limited by athleticism.
Right, which makes it really peculiar when you run a speed option with him with the game on the line.
That's one of the dumbest play calls of the year. Fourth and goal at the Apple Cup, and you're running speed option to the short side with Will Rogers.
Yeah, also the fact that Washington Rutgers is a Big Ten game, that is still mind-blowing. If you pulled somebody out of 2004 and dropped them into 2024 and said, yeah, Washington and Rutgers, that's a Big Ten game. Boy, that would be shocking to the senses, and it still is. If Washington wins this game, they're off to a 2-0 start in the Big Ten. They lost the Apple Cup game, but I wouldn't put it past Jed Fish to kind of get this thing on the rails and get to 7-5. If you're 7-5, I think the Florida fans, they'll talk themselves into Jed Fish.
I didn't take it, but I did. Like, if I were someone that played win totals, I'd be sweating if I had the Washington, because I would have taken Washington under. I kind of thought that was free money. It was like 6.5. I'd be kind of sweating it. This one feels like a big swing one. All right, let's get to Saturday, because I want to start with the early slate, because I'm curious to know, for you, what would be TV1 in the early slate?
Probably Oklahoma State at Kansas State, but South Florida at Tulane is absolutely in the mix. And it is a massive day, Jeffrey, for Group of Five football. And there are implications for Memphis that are really in every game, even those not involving American teams. But this South Florida-Tulane game is a playout game for the college football playoff. Both these teams already have two losses. Both these teams are really angry because they feel like they squandered their early opportunities to get marquee victories. We saw how South Florida was there against Alabama. They played Miami close for the first half, and then down the stretch in both those games, they wilted. Now they get another sort of showcase opportunity here against one of the best teams in the American, but Tulane's coming in angry too because they fumbled the bag against Kansas State, and then they did the same thing against Oklahoma. And you're not going to have, I don't care who it is, you're not going to have a three-loss team be that G5 college football playoff representative. It's just not going to happen. And the loser of this game, they're done. Not to mention they're 0-1 in the league and behind the eight ball in the conference race. So totally a massive game there. And if you're Memphis, you get an early peek at both these teams because you still got to play both of them. And so this is just one of about three or four Group of Five games that have massive national implications. And so for that reason, I will be pretty closely locked into South Florida Tulane.
Have you done the recalibration with John Sumrall? It's been a difficult transition for me because I've now watched Tulane play three straight weeks. It's weird for me. And also, I mean, honestly, the last 2 years of Tulane, like I know the SC Cotton Bowl didn't apply, but like Tulane has largely been a very good defensive team, and Sumrall's a very good defensive coach. I'm having to recalibrate when I watch Tulane because, like, they're bad on defense. They're good on offense, but, like, they're bad on defense.
Yeah, but in the long term, I'm encouraged by the way they've played early this season because you got to remember they're starting a freshman at quarterback.
Oh, no, I think they made a good hire.
Without a doubt. And it didn't work out in those games against power conference teams, but you know, Tulane is very much in the AAC title race this year, and we're kind of basing our judgments of that defense on how they looked against Kansas State and Oklahoma. I don't know that that's totally fair.
Lot of it was Lafayette last week. Lafayette ran up, and I get it. Lafayette doesn't have a bad offense, but it's like, man, that was a little discouraging.
You're on the road, classic trap spot. You're in between Oklahoma. You're in between your marquee conference opener against South Florida. So kind of like Tulane here, they're a favorite. They're 4.5-point favorite. So huge game for both teams. So South Florida will be probably at Tulane will be probably screen two for me. Screen one, Oklahoma State at Kansas State. I mean, these teams are both coming in 0-1 in the league. Ugly losses a week ago. Classic chaos spot in the Big 12 where something wild's going to happen in the fourth quarter to decide the game.
So normally, whenever I see Gundy as a dog, like that's an auto hit, because I think since back to 2015, when Gundy's a touchdown or less underdog, 18-4 against the spread. Two of those four games, though, are K-State, and I think he's 2-6 against Kansas State in his last eight against the spread. So Kansas State's kind of been the Gundy kryptonite. Also, it's one of those situations where it's like, which quarterback would you rather have, Avery Johnson or Alan Bowman? Because neither have been good, but one of which I baked into my models. Alan Bowman's never been good. So, like, I had that baked in. I think we all kind of thought Avery Johnson was going to be better than this, and I've been wildly unimpressed.
Yeah, the BYU game was ugly for K-State. To a certain degree, though, if you go and look at the box score...
Totally agree. We said the same thing. Down to down, that game was closer than the final score was.
Right. You just had circumstances, drives ending in weird ways that Kansas State couldn't get over the hump and just couldn't get out of their own way.
The weird punt return, like that looked like it was going to turn into a fumble and maybe give Kansas State all the momentum, and then it turns into a 90-something yard touchdown.
Yeah, so I would go Kansas State here, but that's it. The Big 12, it feels wide open. Utah is going to be there most likely if Cam Rising is healthy. That's a big if. But we assumed it would either be Oklahoma State or Kansas State, but one of those teams is going to be 0-2 in the league after Saturday.
Also, I'm a little bit interested in this Ole Miss-Kentucky game simply because Ole Miss finally finishes their preseason schedule.
Right.
We might have, like, I think we downgraded Kentucky too much because of the final score of the South Carolina game. And I'm not saying that was, like, that is not the type of loss that we were talking about with Kansas State and BYU, where Kansas State moved the football. Like, Kentucky was inept on offense. But Kentucky's defensive line will probably test the Ole Miss offensive line. And if we're talking about two of the things that I've seen out of Ole Miss that if I were thinking they were going up against real competition, I at least like to see it tested, the offensive line and the secondary. We probably won't see the secondary tested very much, but I do think this offensive line would get tested. And, you know, what happens to Ole Miss, who's had no game pressure all year, if they start to kind of get into like a, you know, a mud fight?
They'll figure it out. They'll beat Kentucky. The 17.5 is a tough one for me. I lean towards Kentucky in that because I think Kentucky showed me enough offensively against Georgia to where I think they'll be able to find the end zone a couple of times. And I could see this one being 31-14. And that half of a point could be really influential in, you know, deciding whether the spread hits in this game for Ole Miss.
All right. I've got a different Big Ten. Wouldn't it be hilarious? I know you've got Purdue and Nebraska. I think the ultimate wouldn't it be hilarious is Minnesota over Michigan.
For sure.
Like last week, Minnesota just gets absolutely run out of the building in the second half by Iowa. Everyone's saying, you know, Michigan grown man football's back. To me, like, that is the peak. Wouldn't it be hilarious? All right, let's go to the 2:30 window. I think unquestionably TV1 has to be Louisville Notre Dame.
Yeah, if you got Peacock.
Are we on the cock?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, again, I watch golf, so I watch golf and wrestling. That Venn diagram of people that watch golf and wrestling is probably two separate circles, but I'm in both circles.
I got a promo rate, so I can watch it, and I will watch it. It might just be on my laptop or something, but so much pressure here for Notre Dame and Marcus Freeman. One, they lost to Louisville a year ago, and two, you have to win this game because there is really no scenario where Notre Dame makes the playoff as a two-loss team, especially when one of those losses is to Northern Illinois. So if you lose this game, you're essentially out of it before October arrives. And that's not where you want to be when you're like kind of flirting with the hot seat a little bit at Notre Dame. So massive spot for the Fighting Irish. And they're going to have to get something through the air from Riley Leonard at some point, or else Louisville is just going to load the box and say, hey, Riley, throw the football. And he hadn't proven he can do that yet.
Yeah, and it'll be Louisville's passing games looked very good, but this is the ultimate test of your passing game. Because they're going to create pressure up front, and they've got good corners, and we'll find out whether or not Tyler Shough that is a fascinating matchup to me. It's like, is Tyler Shough as good as he's looked, or is that more like Jeff Brohm doing Jeff Brohm things? Yeah. All right, also at 2:30, which feels a little wrong, right? Like, this game is supposed to be the 11 a.m. game that we go to. We go live to Jerry's World after College Game Day, and we watch Arkansas and A&M at 11 a.m. The fact this at 2:30 is kind of throwing me off.
Yeah. How about the Marcel Reed, Taylen Green quarterback battle? That could be interesting because Connor Wiegman is still listed as questionable. for Texas A&M. What do you make of that?
I think he's been benched. I think he's been benched. I know he is banged up too, but I also think he's been benched.
Yeah, Weigman is just not very good. Marcel Reed is. There are a lot of quarterback situations around the country, including the situation at Auburn, that are just not playing out like we thought they would, including one that's also going to be on display in this window with Oklahoma. They're at Auburn, and now we got Michael Hawkins Jr. named the starting quarterback this week over Jackson Arnold, former five-star prospect. That is a mind-blowingly quick hook on a guy who you once viewed very recently as the future of your program.
Don't you think he had to do it?
Well, in part because Michael Hawkins' father is a beloved former Oklahoma defensive back who was on the team when Brent Venables was a young assistant there. So I think that that's part of the equation. Jackson Arnold looked bad against Tennessee, but let's not pretend as though the rest of that offense is in great shape. They've been banged up at receiver. They really don't have any playmakers there to begin with. And then their offensive line has been a train wreck. So, yeah, you can blame it on Jackson Arnold. And I guess Michael Hawkins can help disguise some of those issues because he's mobile. He can run with the football a little bit. He brings that extra level of dynamic playmaking that Jackson Arnold doesn't have. But all this really leads me to question is, you know, where is Jackson Arnold going to play quarterback next season? And if I'm Jeff Lebby, who worked with him last year at OU, and I need a quarterback, I am preparing the bag to go make a run at him.
So the reason why I was saying you got to do it is actually none of those things. I think it was the way that Jackson handled himself. You know what I mean? Like he was freaking out on his teammates. He's freaking out on the sideline. Like at the end, that position more than any position in sports is a leadership position, and he did not acquit himself nicely.
That's fair enough. Hey, don't forget Liberty App State. That's leg two of my G5 marathon that we got on Saturday.
I've scratched out App State. I think they're straight up bad.
Yeah, it's a playout game for sure for them. I mean, maybe there's a scenario where if they ran the table, they could get in as a two-loss Sun Belt champion. Highly unlikely. But Liberty has not looked good, and Liberty cannot afford a loss. Now they got to go to Boone. App State's going to be angry because they just got crushed at home by South Alabama. If Liberty loses, they're done. They're toast. And they need help even if they go undefeated because they don't play a Power 5 team. Conference USA is terrible. That App State was supposed to be their marquee non-conference game, and it's not even that big of a game anymore because App State's, as you mentioned, not very good. But still, that one has major implications too. I mean, if you're Memphis, Liberty loses that game, like, you know, you start to feel a little better.
We got an interesting one in Orlando also during this window. Colorado goes to UCF. Cobb, I've always mentioned you can kind of tell how things are going to go with Colorado on a given week based on what the amount of noise is out of Colorado. Like, I think last week, part of the reaction that we saw when they beat Baylor was, I mean, A, it was the way that they did it was insane. And honestly, if you're a defensive coach and you're Miranda, like the way that you played the Hail Mary, both of them, like the first, let's be real, should have caught the first one and they gave him the second chance. Like those are fireable offenses, but you could tell like Colorado wasn't kind of like banging the drum last week. It feels like it's been pretty quiet in Colorado this week, and this is a fascinating game because this line comes out. It's UCF 14, and it makes you go, whoa, okay, I think I like Colorado here, but at the same time, it's like maybe that's the trap. But it will be interesting to see because I think we have officially flipped with Colorado where it's like the internet when they lose is pretty good.
Even when they win, it's pretty good because people are making fun of them for rushing the field as they should.
Yeah, I don't care. Like they were what 1-11 before Deion got there.
Yeah, but you don't rush the field for beating Baylor. Come on.
Listen, that team's won the league.
Yeah, under Art Riles.
No, under Dave Aranda.
Well,
remember they kept Oklahoma State out of the playoff.
That's not who Baylor is anymore. All right, Jeffrey.
No, that is very true. Also, during this window, we already mentioned the anxiety bowl between Auburn and Oklahoma. All right, let's get to the night slate. I mean, if you're a TV programmer, what are you even trying to sit there and say? Like, all right, we got Georgia and Alabama. What are we going to put up against it?
Illinois Penn State, a top 20 battle that might have
with a 17.5-point spread.
Right. No, there is no competition. It's Georgia, Alabama, and then everything else.
We obviously have the Tigers. We have the Tigers and MTSU. We'll talk about that in a minute.
Which Memphis, I think, should win that game pretty handily for a variety of reasons. But Georgia at Alabama is as good as it gets for the most part. I mean, we might have a number one versus number two matchup in a few weeks between Georgia and Texas, but that's only if Georgia wins this game. It's possible that number two versus number four could be the best game of the season from a ranking standpoint when we look back on it. And this is just one in a series of prove it moments for Georgia, because their schedule is really tough this year. That's not always been the case, because they've been sitting pretty in the SEC East. They hadn't had to play oftentimes the best of the conference. So this year they do. In addition to Alabama, they also play Ole Miss. They also play Texas, which is a newcomer to the conference, and Tennessee's in the top 10 right now as well. So if you're Georgia, it's not like, well, we lose at Alabama, then we'll just kill everybody else. Like, no, you are going to have to win some like serious, difficult, high caliber football games during the regular season if you want to be there at the end with a chance to win it all.
No, I mean, if you look at it right now, and we have the rest of the season to see how it plays out, but of the five top teams in the SEC, one of which is Georgia, they play all four. And they play three of the four on the road. They play Ole Miss, Georgia, I beg your pardon, Ole Miss, Alabama, Texas on the road, and then they host Tennessee, right?
Right.
So, I don't know. This is a strange game to me because, on the one hand, if you take out the second half of the Clemson game, Georgia's looked pretty meh. Like, you know what I mean? They're clearly still a great football team because of the amount of talent on there. But they just haven't, like, really flashed. And even when you got the Kentucky game, which is like the Kirby special that we've seen, like I always just think about, it's like the Missouri game from like 2 years ago where you kept like waiting on them to wake up and like go and flex in the second half. And like, they really didn't. Like, they just kind of grinded out the win. And I don't knock them for that. But there's also this flip side of it for me with, I wonder how much Alabama's really been tested in this sense. Yep. Wisconsin is not the defensive Wisconsin that we are thinking that they are. And their back end of their defense has allowed wide open guys. They just haven't played a quarterback yet that can beat them. And while the Georgia passing game hasn't like gotten going full gear, and it also appears that Beck really misses Bowers and McConkey, and he hasn't quite like figured out like, okay, what's the safety blanket? But I don't know. It's then also when you factor in Georgia's injuries up front on the offensive line,
Ratledge.
Like, to me, this is like one of those ones where, and I'm also curious. It's like, does Georgia have the heebie-jeebies against Alabama, or was it just Kirby had the heebie-jeebies against Saban?
I think it's the latter, and I think the caliber of athlete that Georgia presents is so much higher and better than what Alabama has faced so far that it's going to be a little bit of a culture shock. Georgia at least has that experience of playing against a Clemson team and putting their foot on the gas against a Clemson team that, oh, as it turns out, might be pretty good. But Wisconsin and South Florida, who are Alabama's marquee opponents to this point, they do not have near the caliber of player that Georgia has. I mean, this is a program that has stacked consecutive top three recruiting classes under Kirby Smart. And Kalen DeBoer is just not used to scheming up game plans against that caliber of opponent. And so while on the one hand, Alabama has the best player in this game with Jalen Milroe, that Georgia defense and Kirby Smart are uniquely equipped to limit the explosives. And that's basically the formula to beating Alabama, is limit the explosives. And if you can do that, then you got a really good chance to win the game.
And I also think along the same lines, I think Georgia's going to reevaluate how they tried to defend Milroe last year. Last year, they largely like tried to like sit back and kind of spy him. I suspect this year they're going to come after him.
Yeah, come after him and then trust your DBs to make plays. Like, Ryan Williams is fantastic, but he's 17 years old. Yep. And as we've already heard 1,000 times, should be a senior in high school right now. And if that's your go-to guy for Alabama, which seems like he is, then I feel pretty good about my chances if I'm UGA.
Yeah, it's one of these situations where with all the problems that are going on, this is kind of the we are the problem with everything that's happening in college athletics. It's like as much as everything can kind of suck, it's like when you get these games in September and like you think about this stretch of like big games that we've had, it's like, okay, well, Saturday's at least good.
It is. Yeah. So this one will be hopefully it delivers. If not, I've got LSU on upset watch against South Alabama. Because that could get interesting. Then we also have Ohio State, Michigan State. Don't think Michigan State will put up much of a fight, but at least we get to see Ohio State finally play a team with at least a half of a pulse.
So also on the cock.
Yeah. Yeah. That'll be somewhat informative. But yeah, after that, it's relatively slim pickings as it should be.
Well, you got can Florida State score? You got how many points can Florida State score? They take on SMU, who could be in a hangover spot. And then late night, we get Wazoo at Boise State. Obviously, a big game for Boise State. Arizona at Utah. And then Oregon at UCLA. Man, this is where you do realize, like, if they could have come up with a better plan for this new Pac-12, there really was a spot at that late inventory window that they could have. Like, I feel like the pickings have just been so slim this year on late night.
Well, this will be the best late night slate that we get of this season, in all likelihood. You got three ranked teams in action. Couple of these games could end up being decent games, but that was where the Pac-12 was going to be able to sell a network. And that was one of the problems with Memphis going to that conference is you're having to play body clock games at 9, 10 o'clock. Yeah. The travel's ridiculous. Your fans can't get there. Realize all the reasons why Memphis fans would rather see their team play against Boise State and Washington State than UTSA and East Carolina. But you would have been inhabiting that late night window. As it is, you might want to stay up anyway this week, because if Boise State takes loss number two, Jeffrey, I mean, the path could be wide open again.
I said this on Monday. If you're someone that holds the position that if you get shredded like that against Navy, that you have more losses coming, I do not think that that was a illogical, insane conclusion. Like, I can understand that. I also am not ruling out that was a really bad spot for Memphis. They have the big win at Florida State, and then you come out, you play a Navy team that's had a bye week to prepare, and they unload the clip, and they threw things at you that you weren't prepared for, and it was just a bad day. And on top of that, yeah, you got outplayed, and you deserve to lose. You did have the football inside Navy territory with a chance to score and win the game, or take the lead at least and try to hold on. And so I still think there's plenty of football left. I don't think Memphis's fate is sealed. All right, let's take a quick break. We're going to keep talking Memphis football. We're going to take a look, though, at MTSU. David sat down with Derek Mason. We'll talk about that conversation that he had when we come back right here on Jeffrey Wright & Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one. Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience, is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain. All symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, M-I-D-I.
All right, parents, it's back to school time, and I've got a secret for you. There's a drama-free way to make vitamins part of your kids' morning routine. Lil Critters Gummy Vitamins. You see, my kids think they're just eating fun, delicious gummy bears, but little do they know, they're getting essential nutrients for their health and development.
Mom, we know they're vitamins.
As I was saying, kids absolutely love, and apparently know, these are vitamins. Lil Critters is the pediatrician-recommended kids' multivitamin gummy brand, and the yummy way to start the school year.
Program is brought to you by our good friends over at Birdies. As Cobb mentioned, yes, it is indeed President's Cup weekend, and in honor of the President's Cup, you can play the format of the President's Cup with all of your friends. You can play match play, best ball, alternate shot, and the good news is if you book a simulator for 3 hours, you only have to pay for two in honor of President's Cup weekend. Also, if you take advantage and you get a September membership offer through Monday, anyone that joins will receive also a $100 Birdies gift card. It's $100 a month, so you're essentially getting the month for free, and then you'll get a $100 gift card. Forecast isn't looking great, so Birdies might be a great spot to go hang out this weekend, go play on the simulators. Also, with all the sports going on, you can watch your favorite game with the sound on right there on your projector. Golf at Birdies.com. Golf at Birdies.com. Also, make sure you follow them on Instagram at Birdies901. It's Thursday, so Cobb's joining us. And, of course, the Memphis Tigers take on MTSU Saturday night, ESPNU. Cobb, you spent some time with Derek Mason. Obviously, this is a... I don't even know. What do we call it? Do we call G5's rebuilds anymore? Because I don't even know like what you would do. But he's starting from scratch with not a lot of talent.
Brother, it is a total mixed bag of JUCO guys. I mean, I have never seen a roster, even pre-portal, that had this many JUCO guys on it. And so they just got to do what they got to do to fill out the roster to a certain extent. And they did get Nick Vadiato back at quarterback. He was like a fringe all-conference performer. But the lines of scrimmage right now for middle are very, very much works in progress and under construction. And so you might look at the Conference USA preseason media poll and say, well, middle was picked to finish fourth in the league. And that is true. That is largely the byproduct, though, of the fact that there is nobody else that's any good in that conference outside of Liberty. And middle was picked to finish fourth. I've not seen anything from them so far that suggests they're going to reach that preseason prediction. And over the long term, I think Derek Mason has a lot of really good ideas, but this September is absolutely brutal for a program with a first-year coach. So they had their week one game against Tennessee Tech, which they almost lost, mind you. And then they were at Ole Miss. Then they were against Western Kentucky, which is one of the better teams in Conference USA. Then they welcomed Duke, which Duke just ran them out of the stadium last week. And then now they go to Memphis, which is one of the premier group of five teams. And so you get MTSU, I think, at the right time if you're Memphis, because you're mad. You want to come out and show that you're better than what you showed against Navy. And middle is coming off of a grind of a September that it was just not equipped for at this point in year one under a new coach. And so, yeah, give it a couple of years. I think Derek Mason's got a really good chance to get middle back on track. This isn't just a whatever I needed a job sort of thing for him. He had a job with the SEC Network. But I think Memphis should be fine here. And the spread indicates that, and I would have very little reason to be concerned.
Oh boy, man, when you take a look at the CUSA standings, like, as you mentioned, Liberty's 3-0. Western got a nice win over Toledo last week. They also kind of got bailed out. I think they picked the wrong quarterback to start, or maybe they were committed to TJ Finley. Like, you know, at a G5 school, if you probably pay your quarterback, that probably takes up a large portion of your budget. And so, but they get kind of bailed out because he got hurt, and all of a sudden now their offense looks like a Western offense. But I mean, you've got Liberty at 4-0, Western at 3-1, Sam Houston State at 3-1, and then everybody else is either 1-2 or worse.
Right, and it's particularly difficult for teams in Conference USA right now to retain the talent that they get on their rosters, and that's even more so the case for Middle, which, you know, I was talking to that staff, and I mean, they've got 12, 15 guys who played under Rick Stockstill who are now high quality players at power conference schools. And when you go through a coaching transition, it's only even more difficult to hang on to those guys. So Derek Mason's kind of dealing with an empty cupboard right now. They got up 7-0 against Duke last week on a big play to start the game, but then they were outscored in the rest of the first quarter, 28-3. And then Duke kind of took its foot off the gas a little bit there. So what ended up being a 45-17 game could have been more than that if Duke had kind of pushed the envelope a little bit. So it's a get-right spot here
Manny,
for Memphis.
You think Manny Diaz might have some respect for Derek Mason?
the former defensive coordinators who have been put through the ringer at Power 5 jobs, he might.
I think that's the other thing that's interesting. So Derek Mason could have had a large share of a lot of jobs that he'd won as a defensive coordinator. As Cobb mentioned, last year he spent doing TV. Why did he pick this job? Because this is kind of the other thing that I'm noticing. It's like, it's one thing to have a G5 job, but now the CUSA G5 jobs, like, it just feels like they are more difficult jobs than ever because, as you mentioned, like...
All right, parents, it's back to school time, and I've got a secret for you. There's a drama-free way to make vitamins part of your kids' morning routine. Little Critters Gummy Vitamins. You see, my kids think they're just eating fun, delicious gummy bears, but little do they know, they're getting essential nutrients for their health and development.
Mom, we know they're vitamins.
As I was saying, kids absolutely love, and apparently know, these are vitamins. Little Critters is the pediatrician-recommended kids' multivitamin gummy brand and the yummy way to start the school year.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole with its V-shaped stud configuration is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.